pray you've had a good afternoon, good Lord's Day, and Lord bless throughout this day, be able to be back in the house of the Lord tonight, and still thinking about the good things the Lord does for us. I decided not to go back into the book of Exodus tonight, but just sort of stay on subject matter tonight with Thanksgiving and some of the things related to that, but primarily tonight, not so much on the subject of Thanksgiving as it is that we are called to be the child of God, and we're identified as pilgrims and strangers. And many times when you think of Thanksgiving time, you think of the pilgrims that established the places where they were, and those first meals and those things. And I dare say their first meal is a whole lot different than our meals. And tradition tells us they probably didn't even have turkey. We have sort of drifted off into that. And they were called pilgrims. And you and I tonight, as a believer, we are identified as the same way. And so if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 9. Verse 11 is our text verse that we will use. But we're looking at some different passages here in the book of 1 Peter, and just talk about Christian pilgrims and what we are in this world. In verse number 9, it says, 1 Peter chapter 2, says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that where they speak against you as evil doers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man at the for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or as supreme, or to governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And these verses tonight, really Peter is telling or instructing, encouraging the believer to live a certain way. And he says that we are strangers and we are pilgrims in this land that we live, whether it be in our country or other countries. Christians certainly are strangers to this world. They're pilgrims passing through, traveling. The term pilgrim is it refers to one that is traveling from a distance to visit some sacred place or shrine. We talk about people having pilgrimages to different places, whether we agree or disagree with their religion. Many of them will make visits to those sacred places, and that's sacred to them, and they call that a pilgrimage. And they are classified as pilgrims. But as God's children, we are certainly on a journey, and we're not just going to visit a place. We're going to live there one day. But we're traveling through this world, and we're going to a city. The Bible says whose builder and whose maker is God. And the Bible gives us that Peter identifies the believer as a pilgrim, identifies him as a stranger there in verse number 11. He says, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." We've already heard in verse number 9 that we are a chosen generation, royal priesthood. We are people that's been identified as the people of God. He tells us here that we have been given the mercy of the Lord. We find that he has called us out of darkness. And so The identification is already there that we have been chosen of the Lord and a generation that shows the praises of our God. And he goes on and tells us in verse number 10 that in times past we were not a people. And by that he means that we are not a group of people that are going all the same direction toward God. And he says, in time past we're not a people, but now the people of God. I'm glad tonight we are the people of God. And we are identified as the Lord's people. And we at one time did not have that identification. We at one time were here in this world as a lost individual, a lost generation. And we now have obtained mercy. And I thank God for the mercy of the Lord. And then he, rather than saying all those good things and leaving that, he says, in this world you are a pilgrim, you are a stranger. And you have to fight against those things that war against us. And a lot of things in these verses that are given. So one that comes from a foreign country or from one city to another land that resides there, they are considered to be a pilgrim. They've made their journey. They are sojourning. They are foreigners. And so the reference here is that we are traveling from this world to heaven. And while we're here in this land, while we're here in this side of eternity, we are pilgrims, we are strangers to this. And so I just want to look a little bit tonight upon that that subject of Christian pilgrims and how the description is given, how that the Lord tells us some things here in this passage and other passages in 1 Peter. We find that the pilgrim is described on in 1 Peter as a Christian. And we noted the other night, and we've heard known for many years of our study of the Word of God, that the people of God were first classified or called Christians at that city of Antioch in the book of Acts. And so that name stayed with those believers and carries on even down to today. Even though the word Christian today doesn't always mean what it's supposed to mean, it means today more of a religious society or religious people. It doesn't necessarily mean Christ-like, but we find that the New Testament tells us that we are to be Christ-like, that we are to be Christian. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 16. Let's look at verse number 15 and 16. It says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And so here the word Christian is in the same light as suffering. If any man suffer as a Christian. We could go down through the history of our world, and you'll find that there has been much suffering because of that name Christian, because of what the Lord is, who he is, and what he stands for. Peter says, if you're going to suffer as a Christian, then you glorify God on this behalf. So that tells us not everything about a pilgrim's life is good and easy. Not everything about a pilgrim and a stranger's life is that which would be desirable as far as the flesh is concerned, but it also gives to us here that we are sometimes under persecution. Sometimes we suffer because we are a child of God. And so we find in our appearance and the way that we live, we're to be Christ-like. And as we do that, this generation, this society, the secular world in which we live, they do not appreciate some of the things that we stand for. They do not appreciate the Word of God. They certainly don't want to be corrected by anyone, especially God. And so many times we suffer. There are those that have suffered physical persecution. There are those that have suffered death. There are those that have suffered terrible things that happened to them and their families because they were Christian. I think we made mention Wednesday night that when they come to know the Lord and follow the Lord in baptism, that is that identity that makes the world around them know that they are serious about being a Christian. And because of that, many have suffered. So if any man suffer as a Christian, The scripture here says, let him not be ashamed. We ought not to be ashamed when someone would mock us or make fun or throw slurs at us or lie upon us, because that is what the world does. And so we suffer, maybe not only physically, but we suffer sometimes mentally, and the anguish that comes because of people that just simply don't like you because you're a Christian. There are folks in Madisonville, Kentucky, that when they know you're a Christian, they just do not like you because of your identity as a child of God. And so when we suffer as a Christian, he tells us here not to be ashamed, but to glorify God, that we are being counted worthy, that we'd undergo all those things for the Lord. I think it was Paul that he said that he thanked the Lord that he was even counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. And so we are, as a pilgrim, we are to be identified in this world as a child of God, and the word is what the world knows as a Christian. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2, there's another description of this pilgrim or this Christian. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter verse 2, it tells us that we're like newborn babes. We are desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. And so that tells us that there is a starting place for an individual as a Christian. There's a beginning time that we are in this pilgrimage from earth to glory, and we start out spiritually just like we start out physically. We start out as a babe. We start out as one that does not know a lot. We start out as one that is not able to take care of ourselves like we do in later years, but somebody else has to do that for us. And I believe that's where an adult child of God, a mature Christian, I believe that's where churches come into play, and pastors and people that love the Lord, they help people along in their Christian life, because the struggles do come, the problems do arise, and the devil does come after anyone that names the name of Christ. But he, as a newborn babe, has to have someone to help him, someone to instruct him and give guidance to their spiritual life. I think in our modern day churches, and I'm talking primarily about fundamental Baptist churches, that sometimes we think when somebody gets saved, they ought to know everything we know, and they ought to have the same understanding about life as we have it, when they have not matured, they have not had the opportunity to grow. That's why the Bible tells us that we're not to put a novice in leadership. We're not to put someone that doesn't have any understanding, because the devil will use their being unlearned and unskilled in the Word of God, and he'll certainly make havoc of their life. And so we don't put people in leadership and authority positions that's a novice, that just doesn't understand, because they must have time to grow. They must have time to learn and to grow up to become an adult Christian. I was looking at some pictures this afternoon of 10 years ago of the grandkids, and some of the things that they were doing, some things we caught them doing that they wouldn't do now because they've grown up just a little bit. And I had a picture of James. He had opened up Sharon's jewelry box, and he had all of her necklaces in his hand with that evil look. And I don't think she'd ever seen that picture. She said, well, I guess somebody caught him. And so we have to go through this process of growing up, just like we do physically. And so the Bible says that we are like babes in Christ. We are children when we first come to know the Lord. So we are Christian, we are children, we're babes. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, it tells us here that that we are sheep many times that go astray. 1 Peter 2, 25 says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. There are times when believers stray like a sheep does out in the field. The Lord gives the story of the man having 100 sheep and has one fall by the wayside. He leaves the 99 and goes goes regains that one. And much about shepherds and sheep in the Bible, and we are as Christians, as babes in Christ, and as we're growing up, sometimes we do get out of step. Sometimes we do get out of the way. Sometimes we do falter and fail, but I'm glad to thank God that He brings us back and comes after us. He says, but now returned. First part of the verse says, we are as sheep going astray, but now we've returned. Thank God there is a returning to the shepherd and the watcher over our souls, the bishop of our souls, and that is what we have as a child of God. So that's the description that the Bible gives us here in 1 Peter of who these pilgrims and strangers are. But thank God we are folks that have been chosen and elected of the Lord to follow Him. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 2, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, grace unto you, peace be multiplied. And so we are all these things, but in reality, we are the chosen people of the Lord. Verse 9 says we are a chosen generation. And so we've been brought into the fold of the Lord. And the scripture says here that it's according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And here's what He uses. He uses the sanctification of the Spirit and the obedience unto the truth of the blood of Christ. And so salvation is all upon the Lord. In generations and eternity past, God knew exactly what was going to take place in our life, but He used the instrument of preaching the gospel, sanctification of the Spirit, that brings us into the fold. And so we are those that have been given that blessing of knowing Christ as our personal Savior. And so therefore we are a chosen generation. He has chosen us according to those things that are given. The book of Ephesians has much to say about that. And the Bible has many things given to us about who we are as a believer. And we get saved in a particular period of time. And God gives us eternity to follow. And we are Christians, we are babes, we are sheep, and we are a generation of believers, a priesthood. So that's our description that's given to us here in 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2, as we read a moment ago, it says, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. We desire that which is easy. I don't know of any of us in here that if you have a choice of doing a job a hard way or an easy way, getting everything the same objective, we always choose the easy way. Why would we choose the hard way? And here we find that we are desiring the sincere milk of the Word as babes in Christ. Some of the things in the Scripture certainly is difficult for people that have just come to know the Lord. It's always interesting when someone gets saved, they usually want to begin studying the book of the Revelation. And that's one of the hardest things they can do. And there's many things in the Revelation that well-seasoned Christians still have difficulty understanding. And I believe we ought to study the sincere milk of the Word of God. Get to know Jesus. Get to know who He is. Get to know what He's done for us and that relationship that we have in Christ. Digest that sincere milk of the Word of God. And every one of us that are saved, we have to ingest, digest, and take care and understand what the Lord has for us in His Word. The reason many folks are not serving the Lord is because they've never grown in the grace of God. They've never understood how important it is to be faithful to the Lord, because in their growing up, they were not faithful. Maybe they were not encouraged. They were not given truth concerning the importance of the development of their life as a Christian. And so they maybe are saved and they trusted the Lord, but they've just not grown in the things of the God. They've just not grown up in the work of the Lord, and they still are very immature when it comes to certain things in the Scripture. So if the Lord tells us to take this word and to digest it, to take the word of God and to put it into our heart and put it into our life. And as we do that, we will grow, not just physically, but we'll grow spiritually. As we take that milk as a newborn babe, physically we grow. We take the milk of the word of God spiritually, and we grow. And Paul says to the Corinthian church, and I think we noted that the other day, that Paul said, I couldn't talk to you as full grown or as spiritual because you're still you're carnal. And that carnality builds up in the life of a believer. Now, a lost person cannot be carnal. He's just lost. He's a natural man. But a believer, we are either carnal or spiritual. And our carnality grows in our life because of lack of study and knowing and understanding and being instructed in the Word of God. And then take the Scriptures and take the Word of God, study them, listen and learn and get involved in the things of the Lord, then we begin to grow and we'll understand those simple things of God's Word. And then we can go on to the more difficult places and Scriptures and understand maybe some of the depths of God's love for us and all the things that's involved in that. But we will always, when it comes to the knowledge of God's Word, personally, we ought to always consider ourselves as just a learning child of God, just growing up and having the Lord deal with us on particular issues and particular things and helping us to grow. Sometimes that growth involves correction, as it does physically in our life. The reason our generation around us today is in such a terrible condition is that there has been no correction. Everybody does what they want to do, and if you try to correct them, then you're the bad guy. You're the one doing the wrong thing because you had the audacity to correct my child. How many times I've had parents say, my child will not lie. And I've already caught them in it, so I know they don't know the truth. And so we live in a time when people do not want to be corrected, but correction helps us to grow. Correction helps us to learn. It helps us to mature in our physical and spiritual life. And so we do that by the sincere milk of the Word of God. The word sincere, milk there, just means the easy things, those things that God is love. We say that's easy, and we understand that Jesus loves us. But if you really delve into that, that is a great subject of God's Word. But sometimes people cannot obtain that. They can't comprehend everything that's taking place because they just haven't studied the Word of God. That's why Paul says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you're a ruler of the Jews and you don't know these things? That should have been embarrassing to Nicodemus. And sometimes lost people will ask us questions and we have no idea of the answer that we should have. And sometimes that can be embarrassing. And so we need to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing. There's the key to it, rightly dividing this word of truth. And you can make the Bible say anything if you want to take a verse here and a verse here and a verse over there and a verse over. You can make it say anything. That's what a lot of the cults have done. But if you read the Scripture in context and the content of that, and understanding, know who the writer is writing to, know the situation, that gives you a understanding of the Scripture. It's like if you study the book of Hebrews, you need to just understand it's written to Christians. Everything in that book is to the child of God. What Peter is writing to, here in these these verses, he's writing there to the strangers that are scattered. He's writing to those that are elect, to those that are saved. And so Peter's writing to believers. So you get the scope of things, and then you can understand what is being said. And so the Word of God will develop us that we may grow thereby, that we can have that growth in our life. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Thank God tonight He is a gracious Lord. He loves us. He cares for us. He takes care of us. And so as pilgrims in this world, now the pilgrims in our history books are identified with certain things about them. You can look at a picture and say, that's a pilgrim. They had their top hat. They had their certain way of dressing, certain way that they had. And these things that God gives us here in Peter is the description of the child of God, that we can look around and say, that individual is a Christian. That person believes the Lord. They may not believe everything like we do, but they know the Lord, and they trust the Lord, and if they have done that, then guess what? They're going to be with the Lord just like you and I. And so we find here that these verses give us the way of identifying the child of God. Verse number 11 tells us that we are in a war. Verse says, "Dear beloved, I beseech you, but as strangers, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Fleshly lust, this old body that we have, how it desires things that God says no. How it desires those things that we would not normally do, but sometimes the flesh overshadows and overpowers us because maybe we haven't been in the Word as much as we should. And we have the right birth. We have salvation. We have the Word of God. It tells us here that we have been committed unto righteousness in verse number 24. And so we have an enemy because of our birth, and it's the flesh. We've gone from the natural man, now we've gone to the spiritual man. We've moved out of the realm of natural life, being born once, and we moved into the spiritual realm that we've been born twice. And this natural man wars against the spiritual man continually. The battle never ends. What you fought today or yesterday, you'll probably fight tomorrow. Those things in our lives that are prevalent and there that the devil uses so very easily against us, he uses them continually because that's the war against our soul. That's what tries to bring us down. But thank God we have a right birth. The Bible says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And so therefore we have the right birth, and we are born by the Word of God, and we have that which lives in our life. So we have a right birth. Thank God we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been shed for us. And therefore, we're pilgrims and strangers, but we're blood bought, and we're headed toward heaven. Chapter 1 and verse number 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from vain conversation received by tradition of the Father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb slain without blemish and without spot, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Those are three of the most wonderful verses of all God's Word. It tells us here that we have not been saved by the corruptible things of this world. We're not saved by what we have, what we own, what we do, but we're saved by the blood of Christ, and that blood is identified here as precious blood. He that give His blood, life's blood for us, and we are now called the child of God, and He is that Lamb that's without spot, without blemish, and it is He that was, the Bible says here, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. What was He foreordained to do? To die for you and I. We mentioned that this morning. And so He was ordained, He was elected, He was chosen to be that sacrifice before the world ever existed. And then it says here, but was manifest or made known in these last times, and it's for us. Thank God the Word of God reveals who Jesus Christ is. The Word of God reveals what He is doing for us. And so therefore we have the ability to be defending ourselves against this world. We have a birth, we have His blood, we have this book, and thank God He uses all these things to develop us. As we fight that battle that rages against us, I noted some things here that we should take care of. Keep our souls right. Keep our speech right. Keep our steps right. Keep our submission right. All these are found in these verses. Our speech right is found in verse number 12, having your conversation honest among Gentiles. So Peter's writing to the Jews, so he says, you make sure you're honest toward the Gentiles. Why? Because they will see Christ living in you. They will see that you are a Christian. You may be a stranger to them, you may be a pilgrim in this world, but if you keep your speech right, then they will certainly be able to identify you. And here it says in verse 12 that where they may speak evil, speak against you as evil doers, that they by your good works which they shall behold glorify God. There are some of those Gentiles that will become believers in the day of their visitation. When the Lord speaks to them, because of your good works, because of what you're doing, because of your life, they will glorify the Lord. So it's important to make sure we study and follow the descriptions that God gives to us. Keep our steps right. Keep them pure. Verse number 22 tells us to be like the Lord who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. We are to follow that example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we see the duties and the destiny of a pilgrim. What are we to do? Well, we are to follow the law. Sometimes we don't like this. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's verse number 13. Submit ourselves to the ordinances of men. And all through the Bible, Jesus even taught His disciples that they are to give honor to that government that was over them. And you couldn't find a more wicked government than the Roman government. And Jesus told them to go ahead and pay taxes. And if they didn't have it, he'd get it for them out of the fish's mouth. And so he says, whose inscription's on that? And they said, it's Caesar. He said, well, if it's Caesar's inscription, then it belongs to Caesar. And so we're to submit ourselves to the ordinances of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, because they are to, if they'll do what they are supposed to do, they'll be punishers of evildoers, and they will praise them that do well. Now, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the evildoers get, they escape punishment, and the ones that do good sometimes are accused and are punished, but the Lord says to follow the law, to submit ourselves to the ordinances of men, not for our sake, but for the Lord's sake, because we have a name that we are to uphold, and it's a name that's far more important than my personal name. And so we find that we are duty-bound to follow the law. We are duty-bound to be a witness to the lost. He says the Gentiles will see your good works, and they will be silenced. In verse 15 it says, For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Sometimes just living right puts people to silence. Sometimes they have no place of accusation because we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, our duty is to the law. Our duty is to the lost. Our duty is to the Lord, that we live for Him. And then one of these days, we will find our place in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's the reservation and that's the revealing. And thank God tonight, as a pilgrim and a stranger in this land, we have a home awaiting us. And we're just passing through. The old song says, we're just passing through. We're just here for a little while. And if we live to ages that are on up in the numbers, we're still just here. When compared to eternity, we're here just as a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. And while we're here in that vapor, or in that little space between when we're born and when we die, that dash that's there, use that time that God's given us to show forth. We may be a stranger. We may be a pilgrim. Sometimes we may be like the Lord and not have a place to lay our head. But we are headed toward our home. We are going there first class as a child of God, as a Christian, as a babe, as a sheep that's following our shepherd and bishop of our soul. May God help us to do that and be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, living for Christ until He comes for us. Let's stand together tonight, and as we have our